fighting for America.
U.S. wins 2-1 in dramatic fashion.
Why are we so down with this game?
Team USA with the win. America beat Ghana last night in their first World Cup game.
Do we know where Ghana is?
Fighting for Idaho.
USA now plays Portugal on June 22nd.
I'd rather see a quarterback throw a touchdown or a NASCAR guy taking a bunch of left turns.
Fighting for you.
Hey, you remember this from the last World Cup? Was that the Vavazuzu or whatever? Remember that? Remember we used to play that all the time? Like incessantly? You can relieve yourself of the guilt of not liking soccer right here.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning. On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning. One of our favorite people with us, our friend Mike Tracy, to talk politics, and we had the chairman of the state Republican Party, Barry Peterson, on last hour. He is still the chairman, according to the Rules Committee, according to Barry Peterson. And Barry, I know you're listening, so thank you for keeping it here. Mike, good to have you with us at 580 KIDO.
Thanks, Kevin. It's always good to be here.
So for people that may be drinking the World Cup Kool-Aid, that are ready to go to the lake this weekend, why is the shenanigans, the debacle that was the Moscow Convention important to average ordinary folks in Idaho?
Well, I think that state party politics have always been important in terms of fundraising and supporting candidates and energizing the base, that kind of thing. But in the last few years, we haven't seen that as much because the party has not been raising as much money. There hasn't been as much. There hasn't been that unity that we've seen in the state party in the last few years. It's really been fragmented. And for the years and years that I worked as a precinct committeeman and a legislative district chair in Southeast Boise, we had our differences, but we seemed to have at least some semblance of unity, and we haven't had that for the last few years. What I think for the average Idahoan and for people who are going to be looking at campaigns and elections between now and November is, rather than put money into the state party apparatus, they're going to do what they've been doing the last few years. They're going to put money into the candidates themselves. If they support a candidate, they're going to put the money in there. And that's what's been going on for the last few years. And I hear that from a lot of the rank and file members of the Republican Party that I talk to on a daily basis. The party apparatus is, and the party itself has lost a lot of credibility. Right now, the RNC is not, there's going to be a RNC convention coming up in August, and the RNC has said that they're going to recognize two of the three people in Idaho that we normally have. They're going to recognize the National Committeeman, Damon Watkins, the National Committee Woman, Cindy Sitaway, and they're looking at Idaho as having the chairmanship at this point vacant. And that's their stance right now. And
what about the comments of the Rules Committee last night that because of the adjournment of the convention, and people understood that everything would stay in place, no new platform, no new chairman, no election.
Yeah, and the attorneys that have looked at this, Jason Risch,
you have Jason Risch that disagrees.
And the parliamentarian the parliamentarian that they tap into frequently. Out of Washington D.C., these folks are saying no. And the night before, on Wednesday night, the state central committee's executive committee said Barry was not the chairman.
Right, but on the other hand, you have at the convention, you have the chairman of the convention, Congressman Labrador, that adjourned the convention under his understanding, and I think the buck stops with the chairman of that convention. And people disagree with me on that everything would be set in place the way it is. One parliamentarian agreed with him. The other, Senator Hill, I believe, did not.
Yeah, and I don't know the answer to that. I was not at the convention.
Neither was I. I'm just reading the published reports.
I've been reading reports. I've been talking to people who were there. And there's a strong disagreement on that, whether that adjournment actually meant that things were going to stay in place. According to looking at the rules and evaluating the rules of the state party and Robert's Rules of Order and all the other things that the parliamentarians and the attorneys have looked at. Now, I know Chris Troupas has said something completely different.
Right.
You know,
I think what it comes down to, Mike Tracy with us here at 580KIDO, Mike, I think it really comes down to, and let's not use the term war, but there is a contested battle. You have the establishment and you have the grassroots. And you saw a lot of folks that were affiliated with the grassroots pretty much wiped out at the Ada County meeting. Then you had Barry and the Credentials Committee having a problem with that, so wiping those folks out. Then you had the jeers at the convention. Is this any way to run a party?
No, and I think one of the things, too, that you have to look at is, you know, I still consider myself part of the grassroots. I've always been a part of the grassroots of the Republican Party, and I think this division, or you know, calling it grassroots versus establishment, Tea Party versus establishment, I think that does a real disservice to people because these same individuals existed 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Yeah. You know, and I hear that with all due respect, from the establishment folks when they go, how dare you say I'm not a conservative? Well, I think it comes down to various issues. Common Core. I think it comes down to the health exchange. You have people that grassroots folks think this way, for lack of a better term, and I don't really want to use the term Tea Party. I think that's overused. And then you have other folks that view it this way. Nobody likes to be called the establishment.
Right. I agree with you. And I don't particularly like the health exchange, and I don't like Common Core. And, you know, I have disagreements. I don't agree on policy issues with leadership at all times. And we have strong disagreement in the Idaho legislature on these issues. So I think there's a lot of people in both camps that have problems with issues like Common Core and the health exchange. I have no love for the health exchange at all. It didn't anything dealing with Obamacare has just seemed problematic, and having the government take over health care when they can't even run veterans health care properly.
Right.
Why should we turn the rest of our health care system over to them?
Mike Tracy, though, you have advised in campaigns, you've run campaigns, you've worked at the highest levels of our government. If you were brought in as the mediator with respect to both sides, is there a solution that's out there that either side hasn't really figured out yet?
Well, I think one of the things that's going to happen here, since there seems to be strong disagreement with all these meetings they've had in the state convention, the central committee they've called a meeting for the central committee to have a vote. And Barry very well could win that election. I think it's going to be on August 2nd. And it's going to be a vote of the central committee itself, not the delegates of the convention, and which is within the rules. And the central committee is made up of county chairman. It's made up of the regional chairman and the executive committee. And there could be a whole new slate of officers. The same officers could stay in place. I think that would settle the issue for most people, and they'd say, fine, okay, we've had a legitimate election. That's the thing I think that a lot of people are looking at right now, is they don't feel like what happened up at the state convention was any kind of a legitimate election. There was no real vote. There was an adjournment, and an adjournment that, to me, an adjournment without a vote to elect anybody is not a real election. So,
well, at 580KIDO, with all due respect to everybody here, Mike Tracy, Kevin Miller, you weren't there. I wasn't there. From what we've heard, Congressman Labrador didn't have a choice. I've already been ripped by Tea Party Bob for suggesting the buck stops with the chairman there. So, again, we're at a disadvantage. We weren't there. Lots of yelling, jeering, and screaming going on, like the bunkhouse stampede. So what, did they have any choice, do you think?
Here's the thing. If they have a vote with the state central committee on August 2nd, and you know the officers are elected, I think that can solve the issue. What it comes down to is if the RNC doesn't recognize our chairman, we have a slot not filled for the state of Idaho at the national level, and you know that's only problematic in in the party political apparatus.
Sure,
but it's still frustrating to not have a chairman who's in place, and recognized by everyone. And it's very, it's just very divisive, and it's frustrating to watch.
Speaking of watching, what's the role of Governor Otter in all this? He's been at the ranch in Star. He was at the Western Governors Association a couple weeks ago, talking about the lands issue. What's his role in all this? Because I sit here and on one side I say, the governor won, and with the victor go the spoils. And then on the other hand, you have Congressman Labrador saying that his language, the governor's language, needs to be more amenable to the grassroots, for lack of a better term. And those are published in the paper. And I'm thinking, well, Mike, who's right on this one? I mean, does the governor need to adopt the language of, quote unquote, the grassroots to get along? Or should the grassroots go, it's either the governor or A.J. Blukoff, it's either a Democrat or a Republican?
I don't think anyone's completely right, 100% right. I think there's,
well, you are. That's why we have you here.
I wish I had all the answers, but I think what we're looking at is there's right and wrong on both sides. There's got to be a middle ground, and I'm trying to mediate this is going to be really challenging. I mean, this has been going on now for 5 or 6 years,
right?
And this struggle has been going on, and part of it is emanated from when my old boss left office, Larry Craig. Larry was one of those people that was part of the glue that held the state together, the Republican Party together. I mean, all of the different factions really supported him, respected him, and it seems like ever since he has left office, we've seen some of this dissolve and some of this breakdown, and when the governor did not have his person in place as the state party chair, when we started to see things devolve.
Right, and that is unusual. We'll talk more with Mike Tracy next. We'll talk about Senator Fulcher's future, Congressman Labrador's attempt to be majority leader, what Congressman Simpson's up.
Getting more done before sunrise than anyone. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, Mike Tracy with us, political analyst, political consultant, political operative, just all things politics.
Good to be here, Kevin.
So let's take a look at history being made, at least this week, Congressman Labrador's attempt to become majority leader. Tough call. You that have worked in Congress, you understand that, hey, let's face it, that Deputy Whip, he's the guy that actually counts the votes. Your review of the Labrador campaign in this effort, what do you think?
Well, he hasn't been there that long. He didn't have the chance to build that base that you need to build. When I've seen people in leadership, well, Mike Simpson's in leadership. He's in a strong sense. He is a subcommittee chair in the powerful Appropriations Committee, and he worked his way up to that position. He got on the Appropriations Committee and eventually became chairman of one of the subcommittees. Very powerful position, but it takes time to do that. You don't go in and generally take over a leadership position in one or two terms. It just doesn't happen. If it does, it's more of a fluke than anything else. I think people were surprised with what happened with Eric Cantor. He kind of came in on the as a Tea Party guy and was kind of knocked out by a Tea Party person, according to some of the reports I've read. That was a big surprise. But McCarthy had plenty of time to develop this, and he obviously is a very good vote counter. And when you're in the political business and you're running for anything or trying to pass legislation, making sure you really know when somebody tells you yes, they're with you, or no, they're not with you, you need to know that. I mean, you need to really understand and be able to count on those votes. And some people, like McCarthy, he's obviously been doing it for a while. But there's nothing wrong with Labrador running for a leadership position.
But realistically, everybody looked at their chances and said, I'm not doing it. He even said he couldn't get anybody to do it. Otherwise, he would have supported, Congressman Jordan of Ohio, I believe.
Yeah, there were two or three people that I think that he talked to. I think a lot of the conservatives in the caucus wanted somebody to run, and they wanted him to run, and he threw his hat in the ring. Nothing wrong with that. Whether it was a realistic chance or not, it didn't sound very realistic, and it didn't turn out that he actually did lose, and so it wasn't a realistic chance, but nothing wrong with throwing your hat in the ring. I see Harley Brown's thing here. Harley throws his hat in the ring all the time, and people
right.
know.
But he's not. I'm with you, Mike Tracy, at 580 KIDO. It's fascinating, and tapping into your political wisdom here, though. Look, great political move, glowing stories above the fold, glowing stories from the press here. Maybe the issue I have is I don't think that he had any objective media looking at his chances realistically besides the Washington Examiner that said they were looking for phone numbers of these guys. So in reality, it wasn't realistic. Also in the reality, the base doesn't care because he's standing up for them.
Right. I mean, he, as far as the media coverage, I mean, I think there was just interest that he was running. I mean, I remember.
Well, let's go back to your newsroom days. Shouldn't somebody have said, well, how realistic is it?
I certainly would have asked that question, yeah. and I would have contacted people in Washington, D.C., if possible. And I would have talked to other members of the delegation. I think that would have been very reasonable thing to do. I remember when Frank Church, I was starting to do news in 1976 when Frank Church ran against Jimmy Carter in the primary.
Right.
And most people didn't think he had much of a chance, but he went ahead and did it anyway. it was a real long shot, but those kinds of things happen all the time. People throw their hat in the ring and don't really have a realistic chance. I think you're right, though. I think the coverage here was a little bit overrated in terms of, hey, he's running. Isn't this a great thing? Do you have any chance? Do you think there's a real chance to win? So I really do think that there should have been a little bit more pressing to find people that were going to say, no, you don't really have a chance.
Well, Mike Tracy, this is where we go inside. However, that you're not going to get anywhere else in the country. Let's have you switch on your other hat as an operative. It's a boondoggle for him because, hey, great media coverage. His brand is extended. Whether he does anything in Congress or not is irrelevant. His brand is thriving right now.
Yeah, it's certainly his name ID and his brand is much more well-known in Idaho now, much farther beyond the first congressional district where he serves on a statewide basis and even on a larger basis on a national basis. Outside of Idaho, it's not as big a deal. But in Idaho, his brand has definitely gone up, and it's all about name ID, and people look at him as a very conservative and a very popular congressman.
Well, would you be surprised at 580 KIDO to see him go for higher office in 2 years or in 4 years?
I would not be surprised to see him run for any higher office, so whether it would be U.S. Senate or run for governor. I would not be surprised with either one of those. I'm not sure that he likes being in Washington, D.C. all that much. I haven't talked to him about that specifically, but
right.
I get the sense that he'd rather be back here in Idaho. And I could very easily see him running for governor in 4 years.
Our final thought, Senator Fulcher, what's next for him?
I don't know. I mean, Russ... Russ may be in the mix.
That'd be a good primary, wouldn't it?
For
Brad Little. Russ Fulcher and Raul Labrador.
That would make for an interesting primary. That would be it would be a real battle.
Yeah.
And it would be a very, very difficult. It would really
Harley Brown, Walt from Emmett.
It would be amazing. And to watch a debate with those guys would be something to behold.
Mike Tracy, 20 seconds left. Anything we should be looking out for in the lazy, hazy days of summer?
Well, I think between now and November, I think Republicans in general will come together and we'll see some real unity in terms of the way the vote goes in November. I don't think there's going to be, other than this special central committee meeting that's going to happen in August, I don't think you don't see a lot in politics during the summer months. It really picks up again around Labor Day. But I think Republicans, they come home when it comes election time, and I think that's what you'll see in November.
Mike, thank you.
Yep, thank you.
You're listening to 580 KIDO.
Sean Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
Men, 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 manly men.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning, Dave Burnett with us as we start the Manly Man segment. And the wild and wacky weekend recap is always something that a lot of folks look forward to, particularly our friend Joe, who in a couple months, as she told me, if she lives that long, Dave will be celebrating 65 years of marriage.
Nice.
Amazing when you think about what has happened in just the time that she and her husband have been married, but 65 years of marriage.
It is a different world and a definitely different country.
Different world, a different country, maybe even a different universe.
Yeah, very different. So congratulations.
Yeah, Joe, we appreciate it. I always love her that she's does such a great job of giving us the samples at the Albertsons, and I had a chance to catch up with her on Friday, and always appreciate her insight. And she goes, I start that radio with you, Kevin Miller. And I said, well, Joe, you're going to go places, see? That's why you've been married 65 years, because you make a lot of right decisions.
Do not. Okay, I was going to say, don't put credit on this show. That would not be good.
Why?
To give credit to this show for her long marriage?
Yeah, why not? People aren't awake. They're just going to remember, oh, yeah, Kevin Miller saves marriages. They only remember every other word anyway.
Okay, good
It's not
point.
Like that it's factual.
All right.
Anyway, Iraq is crumbling. The U.S. has a tie. What kind of sport has a tie?
When you're going for a world championship, I don't know. I wish I could answer that. I don't even know why we were playing Portugal. They already lost to Germany, and then Germany tied somebody, Ghana or somebody, and now we're playing Germany on the 26th. I don't know.
Now, here's something that, you know, they call this the World Cup, but I'm sure you know this. We've bought, like, twice as many tickets as the next country, over 200,000 tickets purchased by Americans. And you have all these other countries that maybe have 50,000 or 40,000 or 20,000. So really, they really should rename it, and of course they hate us for this, but the America's Cup. It's all about America. We're supporting that thing.
America's as in South and Central and North America? Because all three are America's, if you remember.
Yeah, but the real America.
The United States of Mexico. Because that's what it's called, Kevin. I'm just wanting
the
you
United
to be
States.
Factual. It's called Los Estados Unidos de Mexico, the United States of Mexico.
Right.
That is the name of that country.
Which country?
Mexico. It's the United States of Mexico.
Well, good for them. We're the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, back to where I was yapping about this.
You want to really take credit for the World Cup for the United States?
I'm just saying that, you know, there's a lot of propaganda going on here. Oh, it's the world's game and... You know, hey, how about those Chileans? They did a good job. And I guess it would be great to really teach people, you know, world history or world geography. But really, once again, we don't get a lot of credit. We never get the World Cup here except when we had it back, what, 20 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
And that was supposed to make soccer such a great sport. But we're funneling this thing. It's our TV rights that pay for it. It's our people that are buying the tickets for it. Is it really the World Cup when the United States, once again, is financing most of it?
Well, teams from all around the world are playing for it, so yeah, it's a World Cup. We just finance it. We're leading the way like we always do.
I know. Boy, when the chickens come home to roost on that. You know, Dave Petzo and I, we'll talk a little bit about this, but You're a financial guy.
Yeah, I am. You take check, deposit at store, call good.
Right, when they go, oh, thank you, Mr. Burnett. Well, it's gone already. But anyway, I got real concerns here, and I am not a financial guy, based on my recent history. Based on where we're going as a country, I mean, we keep printing this money, and the market is at the biggest levels ever. Although there are less people now participating in the stock market than ever before, it just doesn't seem. And when I asked Dave Petzl about this, he tells me little things, but I mean, fiscally, that we're printing our own money to keep us solvent does not bode well for the future, does it?
You know, they've been saying it since Bush was in office and printing money, and we just seem to be printing money. And just
really?
Keep doing it. Yeah. And at some point, one would think it's going to catch up with us.
Right. The whole chickens come home to roost. So then you take a look at this whole stock market thing on whether or not this is real.
Whether the stock market is real or not?
Right. Because of the idea that, you know, we're sitting here with this funny money that we're funneling into the system.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know. It seems to be doing well for several Wall Street companies, but I know it's difficult for me as I drive past the gas pump. It's still kind of tough out there.
Well, that and, on the other hand, we have people, and maybe people are not doing their fiscal common sense here. They're out on their boats. They're this, they're that. And God bless them if they can afford it. I just don't see where that disposable income is, considering the state of our economy today.
Yeah, I mean, it...
But the car people are back. People have bought in cars.
Cash for clunkers.
Yeah, cash for clunkers. But, I mean, we see all the things going on right now. And, again, the economy seems to be doing well for some folks.
Yeah, I think something has happened. And we talked about this quite some time ago. Back when the economy first really started going south and people started cutting back, they cut back their cable, they no longer had premium channels, they weren't going out to the movies as often, they weren't going out to eat as often, people driving their cars a little longer. And I think what you're finding is that a lot of people adapted their lifestyle, and now, that adaptation has helped, but they just don't do as much stuff, and they don't, they don't buy as much stuff as we used to.
Well, I don't go to movies anymore.
Yeah. I actually went to the movies over the weekend, but first time in a while.
What'd you go see?
Jersey Boys.
Oh?
It actually was pretty good, pretty entertaining movie.
Yeah, I think movies are ripoffs.
Yeah, there's no doubt it does get a little steep when you get in there, paying the ticket, and then if you buy popcorn and a soda, holy cow.
Right. I don't think the screens are as good as you can get I'd rather spend money and get a decent TV, because you look at the screen on the movie theater and you're going, man, this isn't as good as what I have at home.
I'll disagree with that, but okay.
Well, you can disagree with it all you want.
Yeah. The screen's a little bigger in the theater than it is in my house.
Well, you need to get a bigger TV then.
You have a very nice home if you've got like a 60-foot screen in your house.
I had a friend of mine who had like his own room and such, and it was quite impressive. Although hard to believe that he spent so much money on that it was, now that technology's antiquated.
Yeah, it does change quickly, but I digress. But no,
You digress a lot.
I do, because I want to go back to where we were and the economy. I just think a lot of people have adapted their lifestyle to where, I said at one time, 10 years ago, I made a comment to somebody, you never see junky cars on the road anymore. Everybody, even, people who have... used older cars, they're in great shape. Now you see cars that, like the bumpers are wired on, duct tape holding windows in. You see a lot more of that today than you did 8-10 years ago.
Yeah, and you know what I like in Nevada? They have this tip line that if you see somebody with a bad exhaust, you can call in and rat them out.
Yeah, that's good. Big brother watching on each other.
Well, how else do you explain it? You're going down the road, and of course, then you have the... Then you have the whatchamacallit,
helicopters?
No, you have the tractor at Virginia City that's the worst offender.
The tractor?
Yeah, the little tractor with the tour that you go on?
Oh, yeah, sure.
That's like the worst offender.
Did you call him in on the tip line? Did you rat him out? Did you call him into Big Brother?
Yeah, I wasn't a resident of Nevada, so I didn't.
Okay. All right. Watch out. Kevin Miller is watching your tailpipe on your car.
Yeah. So anyway, here, you know, at 580 KIDO, there's some other things that are going on. Anything that caught your eye this weekend?
Let's see. We had the, is it called the Gay Pride Parade now? They did that again.
The Pride.
The Pride Parade.
It's the Pride.
Yeah. Okay. That took place. Like 1,000, 1,500 people showed up for that.
Yeah, so I don't know where the persecution is.
I don't either. For those, there's a book written in the 70s by David Wilkerson called The Vision. For anyone who read that book and have forgotten about it, pretty amazing. Written in the 70s, everybody went, sure, that'll happen. There you go. But yeah, I don't know that anyone's out persecuting anyone who's alternate lifestyle over the weekend.
Well, not only that, but I mean, you have the stickers and I'm gay and I'm this. And look, you want to do that, that's great. But on the other hand, I mean, we're talking about, well, we've got rights. Well, marriage is out the window. Everything else is out the window. Where does the standard stop? Where do we draw the line? I mean, the polygamists, I think, have a point. At least they at one time were recognized in this country.
Marriage is out the window?
The definition of marriage is out the window.
Oh, I was going to say, because I'm married. Last I knew, I was married.
Well, you're in a form of marriage. How many forms of marriage now?
Yeah, I guess that's probably true.
I don't like saying that to you. I view your version of marriage.
It's traditional.
Right.
I'm like, a traditional sort of guy.
You're a traditional guy. Mm-hmm. Some could say antiquated. Some could say out of touch.
But I'm an old geezer.
You're a traditional guy.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the way it's going. So I don't understand where the whole big issue is on this. By the way, at 580KIDO, they're still trying to figure out who is and who isn't running the state Republican Party. And Chairman Barry Peterson called us over the weekend as we were screaming at each other on Saturday morning. Wake up to mayhem in the AM. And he says that, you know, the reason why he locked the doors and everything else was to make sure that the computers were good to go. That, you know, with changeover of staff and everything else, he wanted to make sure that the hard drives were safe. By the way, I guess they don't have any backups to those machines there.
Whoa.
You know, Dave Bernay, I don't want to say you're an agnostic, but you're Switzerland in this, wouldn't you say?
Agnostic?
You know, it's Monday. I'm struggling.
Oh, you mean I kind of stand on neutral ground?
Yeah, but I like agnostic. But, you know, everybody doesn't know what these terms mean. They just like to say, ooh, he's smart. He knows a word. I don't know what it means, but I know a word.
Okay. Throw it at me and I'll give you my take.
Well, this whole issue of the leadership thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you have Barry Peterson, who believed when Congressman Labrador and the parliamentarian told him that if they adjourned, that he would be in place, the platform would be in place. It'd be like suspended animation. And then you have Jason Rich and others saying no. Then you have the governor, the two senators calling the state or the federal Republican Party, the National Party. The National Party is now jumping into this. I'm not going to lead the witness. So based on the evidence I've given you, your thoughts.
Here's my thoughts. In fact, I had a conversation with somebody over the weekend about this. A lot of people want to say, look what the Tea Partiers are doing. You know, I think there's a bigger group that would not be classified as Tea Parties, but I think would be classified as Republican / conservatives that are just sick of all of it and are ready to see somebody take some leadership. Now, a lot of people will clump anyone like that in and say, well, they're Tea Partiers. And they, you know, they'll jump to try to throw it in because for some reason the word Tea Party is scary to some people. But, yeah, it's just, it's fascinating to watch.
Or you have the folks on Channel 7 calling it Tea Party stacking. Now, it's fascinating to watch the coverage of this. And the reason why I do this is for people like Dave Burnett and yourself that you have lives and you don't. So I do it for you. And I'm watching this report, and it's about a four-minute report by Jamie Gray where she talks to Barry Peterson. She says Tea Party stacking of the Credentials Committee, but the report neglected to mention that you had many people using parliamentary procedure to disqualify people from Ada County that were your traditional conservatives. And like I said, Barry and I talked on Saturday, and it's interesting. I really praise the Idaho Reports show from public television, and you know I don't really praise anyone. And Barry thought that it showed one side of it, and he was right. It was very slanted towards the establishment. But I watched it because I wanted to see what I know what Barry and the folks think over on one side. I wanted to hear what the other side of the argument was. And they had Chuck Winder on and other folks at 580 KIDO. So it's just, it can't be good. But when both sides are dug in, as Mike Tracy talked about earlier, you know, where do you go? Now, Dave Burnett, while you're typing here.
I'm not typing, but I'm folding a piece of paper.
Well, how dare you?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I'm sitting there. Doesn't Congressman Labrador have any responsibility for this?
Does he have any responsibility?
And let me make my case. He was the chairman of this. He assured the current chairman, he was the chairman of the convention, that everything was good. His parliamentarian said it was okay. And then he adjourns the meeting, rushes off to Washington to try and be a big star, which we knew he wasn't going to win, and has had no comment concerning Barry, Chairman Peterson, or anyone else. And I said, don't you feel like the man left behind? And Barry goes, I support Congressman Labrador. But for me, if I were in that shoes, I would be coming to my chairman's defense. But that's just me.
We had a conversation, we being several of us in the building here last week, about when the, in our opinions, the strings started unraveling on the unity of the Republican Party. And the conversation came up to Larry Craig, that Larry Craig, when he held that Senate position.
Actually, Mike Tracy talked about that on the show.
Yeah. When, I was talking to Mike, but yeah, actually even before the show about it.
But oh, you scooped me on my own show?
Yeah.
How dare you?
I know it. I gave Mike all his ideas. Everything Mike says comes from me. But the fact that, you know, that Larry Craig really held the Republican Party together and had it, you know, whipped in line and shape. And after his departure, after Minneapolis, that it began unraveling to where, you know, to right now where it's, I wouldn't say it's, you know, fractured, but it certainly has some cracks in it.
It does. By the way, I pulled a Dave Burnett today.
Make it quick. What did you do?
Left my phone at home.
Oh, you feel naked. It's horrible. Traffic now, Kevin, as you're coming out of Caney County into Ada County, we do have some
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
You know, we were so... And coming up next, the latest from Fox News on the radio. Kevin Miller, thank you for waking up with us. 580 KIDO.
Serving